She is the number one podcast host from the Caribbean, based in North America. Media mogul and the legend agent to the biggest names in international cricket. This is Baja TV Podcast with Baja Powell.
Today, I'm chatting with my life partner of 25 years. Some of you know him as a hard-hitting West Indies cricketer and one of the greatest fielders the game has ever seen. But beyond the stadium lights, Ricardo Powell's story runs much deeper. He's a loving husband who stood faithfully by my side during my fight with breast cancer. He's a devoted father to our children, one of whom is on the autism spectrum. And he's a visionary cricket businessman who founded the Ricardo Powell Cricket Academy in the United States of America, shaping new pathways for cricketers in North America and around the world. He's the CEO of 124 Not Out Sports Agency, now based in Naples, Florida. This isn't any interview. This is an exclusive, unfiltered, honest interview between a husband and wife. You are watching the Basha TV Podcast with Basha and Ricardo Powell.
This episode is brought to you by 124 Not Out Sports Agency. Welcome to the next level.
Hey guys, it's your girl Basha and welcome to the Basha TV Podcast. Now, today is a very special day for many reasons. Yes, I'm interviewing the love of my life, my best friend, my husband of 24 years, but my life partner for 25. And it's significant for another reason. First of all, it's the first time I'm interviewing my husband ever. And he knows me more than anybody else. So he must know at this point I'm a little nervous because I have never interviewed him like this. And if you know anything about me, I can't help but to keep it real. So I don't know if he's nervous because I'm about to keep it real. But today is also a special day for him and I. It's a significant day in our history. It's the day that that I like to say that God healed me from breast cancer. This was a day that cancer was taken into my body. It's my anniversary as a breast cancer thriver, 16 years. And a time when you really know who you're married to. So it's very strange that we're recording. Well, I don't think it's strange, but it's very special that we are recording this interview, the first we've ever done in 20-something years, the first time I have ever interviewed him on this day. So without further delay, I introduce you to my husband and my best friend, Ricardo Powell.
Hello, Welcome. Hello, hello. Thank you.
Oh my God. This feels a little weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels strange, but feel good in many ways.
Yeah. And you know what? You deserve this interview. Like sometimes I forget that my husband is kind of like a big deal. And you've never asked me to interview you. I want to make that clear. This was not his idea. He would never ask me to interview him. But my producer and I felt that the time is right. We have a lot of changes taking place in our lives. And we are going to keep it real with you guys. You know, a lot of people think that we are this big poster, perfect couple. And they think that we don't have, and we've never given anybody that impression. They've never asked. The people who are inside know what's up.
Yeah. I think so, everything's about timing.
I think now is the time. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think it's perfect. Like everything else, life is about experience, and I think we have experienced a lot together, and I think we are so-called qualified to speak about certain things, whether it be the hard things or the soft things. So, yeah.
So today we're going to speak, as my husband just said, we're going to speak about the hard things and the soft things, the good and the bad. Yeah. I'm happy to say nothing ugly happened. That's the truth. But some hard things happen, you know?
Well, it's life. I think if you're living, there are things that are going to happen. And you have to be able to ride through those things. And if it is that you're with somebody who you love and you want to spend the rest of your life with, then you will ride through those things regardless.
Good point. So on that note, when you think back to the young man that I met, right? And where you are today, what stands out most to you about our journey? And to put it into context for our listeners on Spotify and our viewers on YouTube and BadgerTV.com, etc. When I met my husband, I was 27. He was 21. Our eldest son is now 21. I can't even picture him being married to anybody.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, one of the most important thing in terms of our life together, you know, a lot of people will call it marriage, but I call it our life together, because many people are married, but they're not living a married life. And many people mm-hmm. are together, but they're not living together. So our life together over the last 25 years, it's been a journey. It's been one of, you know, a lot of happiness, a lot of sad moments at times, and a lot of ups and downs. And I think we have shared that growth together, which is the most important thing to me, because mm-hmm. when you're growing, and if you're not growing with that person in the same way, then life becomes even harder. And I'm not saying that at times we weren't on the same page. I think just like every relationship, we grow differently. We want sometimes different things. But at the end of the day, if we're on the same path to achieving our respective goals, you know, I think that is the most important thing. And on my end, in terms of my wife has supported my goals 100%. Have I
no, been 200, the, 200, correction.
200%. Have I been the same on my end supporting her? No, because at the end of the day, you know, my career was a little bit different in the form of that, from a supporting point of view from my wife, I needed her there to be able to do that. And looking back in terms of many things that I did then, if I were to repeat my journey, I would have done it differently.
Well, we'll talk about that difference later on. I can't wait to hear what you would have done differently. But, you know, so as you said, we've built this life together through the ups and downs. What has marriage taught you, our marriage, about love and commitment? What I should say, let me not put words in your mouth. What stands out most? What lesson stands out most for you in our marriage?
That is important that you love and support your partner more than you would even want to support yourself. Because when you love like that, I think mm-hmm. there's nothing holding back. There's no taking for granted. There is no there is nobody like feeling left behind. And for me, in terms of over the years, that is something that I have taken for granted in many areas. Mm-hmm. And with maturity, over the years, I've grown in those areas. And I think that is something that I don't ever want to take for granted. And that is where I said that experience and growth is so important, because...
Did I do that for you?
Oh, yes. Not to touch you. Without a doubt. And I said that as mm-hmm. men, or as grown men, I mean, we don't recognize things that our mm-hmm. partner is sacrificing for us day in, day out, because we just think that it's a given. Our wife is there, they're there to support us, and we are on our journey, and we're not thinking about, okay, what about them? So what it is that they want? And I'm not saying that I have not supported my wife in different era, but paying attention day in, day out, just to see her needs while she support mine. Those are things that I took for granted mm-hmm. in our relationship.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. And I also feel like, you know, I want to keep it real with everyone. Like if I were to sum up my favorite years in our marriage, mm-hmm. You know, I always say, let me say this, right? Let's talk about the tough times. I'm going to just identify the years that weren't my favorite. Mm-hmm. 2021 to 2025 were not my favorite years in my marriage, hands down.
Why?
Which years weren't your? Why? Okay. Since you're doing the interview now, here's why. Today is a significant day. I always boast and I tell people, I said, 16 years ago when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and, you know, God I begged him. I said, please don't take me from my children. Please don't take me from my family. I'm not finished. And he delivered, praise God. You never, ever made me feel less than. I never felt more loved, more cherished. I was going through a cancer diagnosis with no hair on my head. I did a bilateral mastectomy, which was a decision we both take because we prioritize life over aesthetics and other challenging surgeries, right? And I never one day felt like you weren't in love with me and that you weren't paying attention. A very dear friend of ours, and you know her name, older than us, and she's played a matriarchal role in our lives. She said to me, she remember standing in the room, of course, I am not aware of what's going on, and the doctor prescribed a certain medication, and instantly you asked for another medication because you knew that it was a trigger. And she said, I've never seen a husband so in sync. And she was right. So much so that after 21 years being with you, when I started to see that we weren't that in sync and you weren't on the same page as me, I thought I was tripping because your track record was so impeccable. I was like, nah, maybe I too needy. Nah, maybe I this. I started blaming myself again. I'm like, man, you know, like, oh, bitch, you need to relax and stuff. So for me, the gold standard that was set was a stark contrast. By 2021, I was seeing a different person evolving. And I know that somebody said every decade you're a different person, right? But it became very clear to me that we weren't growing in the same direction. So I still thought I was tripping, and it turned out I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so for me, those years, my first 21 years were ups and downs marked by breast cancer, autism. And we had this because we got this, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, people probably wonder, well, what happened after 21 years? Newsflash. No, I'm not aware that I ever had an issue with infidelity in my marriage, but get to understand something. Infidelity is not the only thing that can damage a marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
you're right on the money in terms of the last couple of years. And it's something that for me as a man, in terms of understanding many things in terms of our marriage and really paying attention. And sometimes you look back on the things that you used to do. As I said, the first 21 years was a gold standard. And as a man, you understand that you set the standard, and it's something that the minute you slip from that, your wife or your partner is going to notice. And I think that's where you come back to having a partner like that, because many relationship or many men or many man or a woman in a relationship like that will either decide, okay, I'm not going to deal with this because you're tripping and you're getting on whatever. So I'm going to be out. But understanding my wife, who speaks the truth and nothing but the truth, because
nothing but the truth, guys.
At the end of the day, you know, that's just the person that you are, and I love and respect that about you. Because if it is that you don't have that in a partner, then you're not gonna grow. You're gonna feel that you are the shit and you live in this la la land, and whatever that you're doing is the right thing, and you don't need to pay attention to your partner and what they're going through as well. So for me, getting that reality check and understanding that, hey, your wife is not happy. She needs this and she needs that. And if you don't see that, then we cannot be together, because then what is the sense? Regardless of 20 years, you might live the next 30 years and you're living apart. So it's like you're living, but you're not living.
I'm not living. I realize that was the moment I realized that I wasn't living. I realized that you thought that a holiday was going to some cricket tournament. And there were so many things. And I'm like, what is this? This is not my life. Like, you felt that once you were with your family, we needed to be happy with that at a cricket field. Right.
Yeah.
Like, it was it was like a bell went off and I realized that I was living somebody else's life for the past 21 years. And that all my, I don't know if it's because I was like, I was creeping towards 50 and I was like, you know, doing a summary of my life and, you know, trying to see if I, you know, really asking myself if I had attained these hopes and dreams. And I was curating your hopes and dreams. From the moment I decided with your suggestion to leave IBM Jamaica, I left my dreams behind.
And as your husband then and your husband now, as I said, looking back at both scenarios, and introspection is very important, especially for me. I don't know about a lot of people. And growth, because then I was young.
Yeah, you were.
And also, again, madly in love. I wanted to spend every minute of the day with my wife, then my girlfriend. But from day one, you were my wife because that's who I saw. And you again, you get caught up in this world, in your world, because it's about you.
Yeah.
Right? It's about you.
And it was about you. And then you were already in the type of environment that it was about you. You were a young star. I met you at the height of your career. We weren't even calling each other boyfriend and girlfriend yet. You were calling me your wife, but I wasn't calling you anything, right? Because in fact, I begged you not to get married so young, didn't I?
Yes,
I said, you sure you want to get married to me, boy? I said, we don't need to get married first to have a good thing.
How can you be with someone like this and not want to get married to this? Like, I mean, for me, as I said,
marriage was not on the agenda for me when I met you.
I grew up differently. I grew up seeing my father and my mother married. I see them living their life together every day. I see their relationship working. But again, as a young man, there are many things that I didn't know. I remember when you said after our marriage, like, babes, we need to do therapy. I'm like, therapy? Like,
no, I said it before. That? I said it before.
I'm like, therapy? What is that? Like, therapy?
Ladies
and
gentlemen, if you're listening on Spotify and YouTube and you're watching, disclaimer, do not ever get married to anyone, because it could be to a same-sex person, right? Without therapy. Do not listen to them. That in love, bubbly, 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 goes away. And real problems, the marriage is not about the day. It's about the rest of your life. Get therapy.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
And as I said, fast forward to where we are now in terms of just looking back at then. And we don't understand, especially as men who grew up in that era of the West Indies cricket, where playing for the West Indies was everything to you. You didn't have the franchise role that you have now. So the goal was playing for the West Indies. So whatever it is, whether it be getting up at 6 a.m. to train, eat, sleep, cricket, you go on tour, all you think about is cricket. You're not going to take a day or hour to go and go by the mall or shop or whatever the case might be. At least that's that was me. My day was cricket, because this was an opportunity of a lifetime, and I wanted to make sure that I capture this moment. And in all of that, as a young man being married, I took for granted the side of marriage, that everything else comes with that in terms of building that relationship, making sure you and your partner's in sync, and then come kids. Now, that's a whole different story where you have to become a father, you have to become a parent, and a parent with a partner who needs that same life balance. So for me, all those things, now I'm looking back, I understand those things. And I said that is with growth, because most men, they still run away from that. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to.
But I don't want to forget this part. I wanted to talk about when I should have run. Because I didn't know what I was getting into, right? So I thought, I went down this road before. I had other boyfriends. And so I thought, if you're going to be my boyfriend, he's my boyfriend. And we were in, I think it's a pharmacy in Ligony, Jamaica, because we lived in Jamaica. That's where we met all those years ago. And we walked into the pharmacy and a man walked up to you and he started talking to you. Like, I didn't even know how famous you were back then, because I didn't like cricket like that. But my family loved cricket. I came from a family that loved cricket, and I guess I was just the only person who didn't like it like that. So I was like, I went to the pharmacy to get something, and you were standing there, and the guy was talking to you, and I came back to ask you whether you had the money or you had something. And the man was so insulting. I would never forget this. He said, he does not belong to you. He belongs to the people. Do you remember that incident?
Yeah.
That's when I should have understood this journey. And I was like, okay, dude, chill out. You know, like, and I just got what I want. And I did not understand. And then the backlash we experienced. A lot of couples in West Indies cricket today need to thank us, because you were the gold star who, before we were married, you insisted that your wife, girlfriend, and you call me your wife then, go on tour with you because you were not interested in womanizing and stuff. Remember Jamaica cricket suspending you for sleeping with your wife? That was the headline. Because yeah. I came for the weekend, your wife, legal wife. We yeah. had it so hard. There was so much stacked up against us, you know? Yeah. And yeah, it was rough. So
yeah. I think those are things when I look back, in terms of also being in a position as your husband, where when we look at both the back then and now, in terms of standing up for my wife, those were things that, looking back, I'm like, okay, I was a young man. Like, mm-hmm. then, yes, I had fame, but I didn't behave as if I was famous, because
no, you never behave that way to this day.
For me, it was about, again, and that in many ways affected me later on in life, because I never was in a position to celebrate. I was never in a position to feel that, oh, you did, you make it, you're famous, you made it to West Indies cricket, because you felt at any stage of your career, bam, and that could be gone. Because people back then, and even now, were so, whatever you call it, envious, cutthroat, whatever it is in terms of West Indies cricket, where people will see you perform, but your performance will not be good enough, because somebody might not like you. Somebody might not like the life that you live in.
Correct.
For me, in many ways, I was just never in a position to celebrate my wins. And fast forward to where I am today, that affected me in my life in terms of how I celebrate my wife, how I celebrate my kid's birthday, all those things. Because the moment of achievement or celebration, I just felt that it could be gone by tomorrow.
Yeah. You. It was very hard in this marriage to get you to celebrate things the way I would celebrate it. And I had to dig deep to understand that. And that also affected me. I'm like, yeah, we're going to celebrate. We're going to live. I mean, you're not there now, ladies and gentlemen. He's not there now. He celebrates everything. He knows how to live. But it took a lot of work to get there.
Yeah. And again, those are things that players back then like myself, and even now I'm seeing that in the world of sports and in West Indies cricket, where we take that for granted. We take just understanding those things. And unless you have a mentor, or if you're smart enough like me to marry a beautiful woman like this who has brains in her head and just everything that makes me the man I am today, you're not going to get it. And you have to be able to be mature enough to understand that, shit, yes, I am talented in my field, but there's so many things that goes with a strong relationship, a long career, and an overall package, because we just did not have that. And a lot of people, whether it be in your company or in the sports, miss that mark, because we just look at the talent. We just look at the talent, full stop, because you're not looking at the overall person in terms of what is going to make this person better, whether it be on the field or off the field. And there were a lot of times when my wife, which was then still very young, but much more mature in those areas, and was able to tell me the truth. And along the way, I learned these things and I apply these things in our marriage, but still, that same, what you would call it, experience or life challenges come back later on to haunt you, because you felt when you maybe walk away from something and the opportunity again presents itself, is like what probably Jay would have said, Jay Shetty would have said, like, the ego is at rest when nothing is happening.
Or your ego, I never saw your ego before 21 years, but it's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, because if it is that it's at rest, it's fine. But the minute something comes that give you that illusion of, wow, I'm seen again, I'm recognized, then you feel that you're in that space again.
Yeah. And with this, so I think 2021 into 2022 in particular brought the Legends franchise, and that gave you an opportunity to go back and do something that you left. You also didn't leave on your own terms. I mean, your ride with West Indies Cricket was rough. And then once the franchise will started to explode, I know you wanted to go back and play cricket. And of course, then I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So you took a hiatus, worked on our business. And then, as life would have it, again, it was just dishing out lemons. 1 year after I successfully, you know, recovered, our son, Russ, who was at that time 2 years old at this time, was diagnosed with autism. And I have never seen you more broken in my entire life than when we received that diagnosis. I remember you crying from Miami all the way to Fort Lauderdale, where we stayed. I have never seen you that broken. I had breast cancer, whatever, and I know you broke down. I saw you broke down. But that autism, that child would never know what that did to us. I know. And, you know, as a parent, you can take whatever comes to you. But when it comes to your child, guys, that broke us. And we still live that life. Autism is not easy. Cancer, I took 12 rounds of chemo and I was good. Autism doesn't go away. And if I felt that I loved you and my family, oh gosh, my family is amazing. You know how they fight hard for you and how they love you. But if I felt that I loved you after a breast cancer diagnosis, the autism gave you the real power in this marriage. You could have been forgiven for many things, because I will choose you over and over again in a scenario like this. That has been the hardest thing for me.
I thank you for that, babes, but I'm not taken for granted in terms of what my wife did, who is the proactive person in this marriage. I mean, the things that you did to make sure that our family stayed together, make sure that our family was in a position where Ross was not going to stay in Trinidad and wither away like many other kids who you'll probably have in homes where the typical Caribbean people would look at them and say, oh, he don't have any sense. Oh, he's stupid. Oh, he this, he that. And that is one of the things that we literally run away from, because we're like, no, autism is a diagnosis. It doesn't mean that he's Down syndrome, he's handicapped or whatever. This is a condition.
Disabled.
Yeah. And for us, in terms of my wife got on this right away. Bam, company was going to be transferred to the US. Bam, lawyers were going to have to get in place to make sure that this happened. School was going to be put in place to make sure that he get the best education, the best treatment, to make sure that he can have a normal life. And being in this country 13, 14 years later, to see where he's at today.
Praise God.
That is you, baby. I mean, the sacrifice that you made as a mother to make sure that, if anybody don't know this about you, you love your husband. But let me tell you something. Your kids,
I'm gangster for my children.
Everything to make sure that they are okay. And I hope one day that they will grow up to make sure that they know that and they understand that. And I remind them every day, they're young, they think, take things for granted, but the sacrifice that you made as a mother through your career, through everything to give up for them, and still during that time, even me at times takes things like that for granted because I was like, okay, it's my wife. She has to do it. No.
Yeah.
And that's for me where growth came in terms of, I'm still growing because mm-hmm. acknowledging those things and really realize that shit, my wife did it. Like this is no joke. This is something that people will run away from. and it's one thing to have a husband at times who is selfish and thinking about himself and doing this. But when you have a child with autism where every single day this is in front of you and there is no apology, there is no, I'm sorry. It's more about like, this is just what they get going through and you have to go into their world. It's not about you anymore. It's about their world and you have to understand it. So, I mean, hats off to you in terms of the way you have handled that, because even with
same to you, right back at you, because I'm telling you, I could not have done this at the level that I'm doing it without your support. Yeah. And that's the truth.
Well, that is, you know, to like, me.
I could, like, there are times as a husband, I could give you a 7 out of 10. When I'm mad, you get a 5. Sometimes I give you a 10 out of 10. But as a father, 10 out of 10 every single day. The needle never moves because that autism diagnosis never goes away. But you know what? I just love how we handle it together, how we brought joy to it. Let's talk about the joyous side, the way we would mock him sometimes when he says, thank you. And because he talks like a robot and we get our joy out of it. The way that sometimes, I remember in the really difficult days, right? We'd be driving home from work in the office in Miami and we would both sit outside, guys, for like an hour in the car. We had to take a deep breath before we went inside. There are times when we didn't have the support of a nanny and we would go on dates lunchtime because we couldn't go out in the night because we had nobody to leave him with. You remember those days? That's in Houston now.
When he's at school.
Yeah. So, you know, once there's a will, there's a way. So thank you for, you know, thank if you. Anything, I know that I chose the most fabulous parent in a partner. And that makes a difference, you know? Let's talk about your career now. Enough about our life. I may have things that I remember that I may want to bring up before we leave. Because, you know, I have the mind of a dolphin. You know that. That's how our son speaks, guys. You know that. All right. So let's talk about the career. I met you at the height of your international career. We had amazing times. Crazy travel schedule. We also had some difficult moments finding out, you know, that you weren't going on a tour, the 7 o'clock news. I remember saying to my husband, well, when I just met him as my boyfriend, I said, I didn't understand anything. For those people who said I wanted him for his money, and we will get into that, because all of that, your girl went through all of it, because I didn't even know how much money this man making. I was so afraid to ask him. I was already in corporate Jamaica. I was making good money. I had my own place, my own apartment, my own, as the Jamaicans say, I had my own car, my own house. I remember at that time, Destiny's Child had this song, The Shoes on My Back. I bought it. I don't want to get into any royalty squabble with anybody. I depend on me. That was my theme song. And so, you know, we're dating and I don't want to ask him his business because I don't want him to think I'm a gold digger. So I'm trying to figure out how does he make money? Because I don't know anything about these things. And then then I said, so when are you going on tour again? And he says, when the board calls. So everything I asked him, he said, when the board calls. I was like, so after a while, I turned to him and I said, are you working for the firm or something? So yeah, after a while we decided to call West Indies Cricket the firm because you don't know your future. Your future is tour by tour. Those days you didn't have any retainers or anything like that. You're either going on tour or you're not. Somebody had the ability to damage your entire career if they didn't like you. And we would find out on the 7 o'clock news, everywhere in the Caribbean, during the sports segments, if you're not going on tour. And that's how we were able to plan our life, or not plan. And yeah. From very early, I realized that, okay, I was a smart lady. So if I was a gold digger, I would have run, because that had no stability in it. Yeah. And I knew about money. I came from a very good family. I started my career as a human resource consultant. So I had a very comprehensive understanding about salary packages and compensation and all of those things. So I knew what was up. The moment I decided to say I do, I knew that this was on me to figure out. You know that. So my thing is, most people judge a cover by the book, you know. This also applies to our marriage, your career. It looked really fancy. It looked like, hey, she's so lucky. People told me that. You're so lucky. And I smile. I kept smiling. And at the end of the day, this was one of the hardest parts of our marriage. Your career with West Indies Cricket.
Yeah. Again, as I said, when you started, you were young, ambitious, and the dream was to play for the West Indies. Mm-hmm. However that came, you take it. The system of your country when growing up for me in terms of Jamaica, the way Jamaica cricket operated back then was similar to West Indies mm-hmm. cricket, because there was no retainer contract. There was no guarantee that, hey, if you perform, you will be selected, you go to trials, you do your best. If you fail this year, you go back next year, etc. And that was the life of an athlete back then.
Yeah.
So for me, playing first class cricket, even back then for Jamaica, the match fee was $150 to $250, depends on how many games you played. And
yeah,
there was no contract. As I said, you had 5 region or 6 region or whatever the case would be then. And if you play 5 games for the season, then that is your salary literally for the year. Mm-hmm. So I was accustomed to playing for the love of the game. So playing for the West Indies for me was like, whoa, dream come true. I'm playing for the West Indies. And at such a young age, nobody could have told me that at 19, I would have been able to be selected to go and play for the West Indies in a World Cup. So that on top of everything else just made everything like a wonderland. Yeah. And for some reason, because of the way I grew up playing cricket from school level to Jamaica, playing for the West Indies at age 19, making a World Cup, again, mm-hmm. I could not celebrate it. I know it was a big achievement, but it was always in the back of my brain that mm-hmm. this could be very temporary. Regardless if you perform or not, it could be temporary. So you mm-hmm. try your best to do everything the right way. You didn't want him to say, oh, after the game, he gone, he partying. So you didn't want to have them use that against you, because then they would drop you.
And so never partied?
No. And yeah. I remember my coach from high school telling me, he said to me, the deceased Mr. Lou, God rest his soul.
God rest his soul.
If you're going to be dropped or not selected for a cricket team, etc., let it be because of cricket, never anything else. So that was in the back of my mind, like, if I'm not gonna play for West Indies or Jamaica, it has to be about cricket. So I didn't want anything else to disturb that. So I never partied, I never went out, I never drank, right? And never, not even one beer. Everything was just cricket for me. And that transferred into my life, which, again, if it is that you don't know how to handle these things and somebody pointing these things out to you, that could be the rest of your life. And then, as I said, discovering so many things in terms of meeting my wife afterwards and discovering Carnival.
Your favorite thing on earth, Trinidad Carnival, to be specific.
Carnival. It was the only thing
Trinidad Carnival
during my career when I played that I got suspended for. It was the only thing outside of cricket that I got suspended for was Carnival.
Yes.
After the tour was, I had a tour in Barbados, was finished, and I'm not going back to Jamaica. I was on a plane, my wife was in Trinidad, I'm on a plane to Trinidad. I land, I think, on the Monday morning of Carnival Monday.
No, Carnival Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday.
And yeah. I was in a band, and I tell these stupid people in Jamaica that, hey, I have to do something, whatever, whatever. And then I end up on the front page, the front page of The Guardian in Trinidad. So like, oh, shit.
That he got dropped.
Again, not thinking.
He got suspended.
Not thinking about that. Oh, you stupid ass. You're Ricardo Powell. If you go to Trinidad Carnival, you just came back from a World Cup or whatever the case might be. Everybody knows you. You go to Trinidad. You're with this fine chick in Carnival, whining, whatever. You're going to be seen. And again, that was the inexperience of many things to come with West Indies cricket. I mean, yes, I played 109 one day international, which, again, at times I didn't even look at that and say, oh, that's a great achievement, because 109 one day international is a lot of
games. You just never celebrated or acknowledged anything.
Never celebrated, because every tour that I play or every tour that I went on, I thought that could have been my last tour, because there was no retainer contract. The selectors, if they didn't like you, they weren't going to pick you. If you perform on that tour that you went on and you're coming back home, the next tour, you don't know when it's going to be. So therefore, it could be new selectors. It could be new people selecting a team. So your life was based around selection. Am I going to be selected? Am I going to be selected? And fast forward to where I am today, that is something that I have to work on in terms of with you and with our therapist, in terms of understanding, like, your life is not just about being selected. Tomorrow you're going to be okay. You're in charge of your own life. You're not relying on people to pick you or drop you.
No. Yeah. You know, I want to say this too, and I want to make this very clear. Some of you listening or watching might be in your feelings, but I don't care. But I am so, so proud of the fact that of your accomplishment. Let's put the past behind us now. Let's talk about the present, because that's all that matters. Nothing matters. You could have done, you could have played 20 test matches, which turns out that test cricket is not the future. So for those of you all who made my husband into a one-day cricketer, thank you very much. Back then, it was seen as like they were doing you something, but God was setting you up for something much bigger. And you have created the template. And that's what I'm proud of in terms of your career. You have created a template as a cricket businessman in the United States of America. Who would have thought? Who would have thought back then, from 2000 and in the 2000s, that this is where this was all heading? And because of a child with autism and a mother with a relentless determination to make sure that he had the best, we ended up, life would bring us to the United States, and you came here on an ESPN contract. We thought, okay, well, maybe it'll be ESPN and Baja TV, and because we had set up such a phenomenal media platform throughout the Caribbean, and we thought, well, yeah, this is it. We're good. We're always contented, this is it? And God said, no, hold on there now. I have more in store. And you came here, and brick by brick, you build the Ricardo Powell Cricket Academy. People were laughing at us and say, cricket not going nowhere in America. And we smiled. And you paved an avenue. Before there was a 124 sports agency, you were bringing cricketers to club cricket here for free. This man brought them for free. And you single-handedly developed a cricket academy that is now a business template for other colleagues.
Not single-handedly. Not single-handedly. My wife was a big player in terms of making sure that I had that platform. The branding, the vision for what the academy should be, that was all on you. And the way you went about doing that, that comes back to that experience in terms of that business experience. I was not able to run a cricket academy if it is that I didn't have that experience having a wife like you from the Caribbean, running a company in Trinidad and Tobago, and understanding marketing, understanding the advertisers who will potentially support a brand like this, and how to develop an academy to make sure that I can get kids from all over the country to come to me. Again, not understanding who I was as a player. Because, again, I walk away from a career at age 27. So mm-hmm. to me, that was no longer me. Yeah. I was now developing into a business person along with my wife based on the company that we ran in the Caribbean. So coming to America where there was nothing, but also getting into the cricket field of ESPN and stuff like that. And then a friend of mine said to me, like, Rick, you should start the academy.
Yeah.
And this was when I
let's call his name because he deserves the credit. He didn't say the academy. He said you should start coaching.
Yeah, I should start.
I made it into an academy.
Yeah, yeah.
My good friend from
Houston, Kuldeep Patel. He said
the great Kuldeep Patel.
Yeah,
that you should start coaching.
You should start coaching. And I'm like, again, thinking, why should I do this? I have a very good ESPN contract. I am doing what I'm doing.
We had our media company at the time, and you know,
yeah, the business were running out of Miami and all these things. So I was like, you know, why should I do this? There was nothing really. There was no real cricket academy in the U.S. then. Nobody was coaching kids, and
of your stature, that is.
Yeah,
yeah.
And fast forward to where we are today. I mean, it's amazing in terms of the things that we have done together to build that, because it's now a brand. It's not just Ricardo Powell coaching kids. It's a brand that we have built together.
Well, I understand, and I didn't mean to misspeak. So it's not like I'm not taking my credit, because I will no longer do that. I just believe that my hands didn't build this. Brick by brick, it was you. Behind the scenes, which is really where I operated for most of everything, it was me, the visionary. But everybody knows that, well, not everybody. Yes, I'm a media mogul. There's nothing that I cannot accomplish in media, PR, with the help of my family members, my sister, who's now a producer with me on this platform. We just built for that. But brick by brick, I'm not I don't know anything about cricket from a technical perspective. So you were the champion implementer. Yes, I was the co-architect with you. And I thank you for recognizing me in this moment. But I wanted to make a larger point. The experience, we gave each other the experience. You know, you were my Bonnie, I was your, you know, but my Clyde and so on. Bonnie and Clyde. And I taught you business and you taught me cricket. And for that, I'm grateful. But I do not want it to be lost in the legacy of Ricardo Powell, that you were that person, that West Indian cricketer, to come here when nobody was doing anything like this. And you set it all up to open the doors for others to come. And I'm so proud of you. And you did it at your peril, because it wasn't easy, you know, guys. It wasn't easy. We had to sacrifice a lot to let others in. And you did it selflessly. You were not threatened by anyone. You paved the way for so many. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of you. You are the first cricket businessman in the United States of America. Because you have people, businessmen who got into cricket, but they never played a game.
Yeah.
It's you, boo. Now come the other part. The part that I love the most, but just walked away from. You know, we recently announced that you have returned as the CEO of 124 Not Out Sports Agency. Mm-hmm. And I think that the timing, the launch of that sports agency, it was launched at the time when it was a difficult time for us in our marriage. That's when I realized that we were both changing, you know, and it brought out the things that we needed to see. And I stepped down because 124 was always meant for you to be the CEO. And I took up the appointment as CEO reluctantly, would you say?
Yes, yes.
I never wanted to be the CEO of 124. Because you know what it did for me, Ricardo? It pulled me away from what I had to walk away from when I didn't want to, but life threw lemons at me and I had to walk away from Baja TV. I always knew that I had an unfinished assignment with Baja TV. And you had an unfinished assignment with cricket.
With my ego.
Your ego. Yes, your ego.
Yeah.
Talk the truth and tell the people.
Yeah. With my ego.
With your ego. So it's been me sitting at the helm of 124, a company that I created.
Yes.
For my husband's legacy. Again, for those of you who don't know what 124 signifies or symbolizes, it's his highest score against India. It was a monumental innings that I hadn't met you as yet, you know, but of course saw the footage. And it was, again, the creator that I am. I was like, something's missing in this academy. What's the next step? And I told Ricardo, and he said, well, what are we going to call it? I said, what about 124? And then we went for the nut out. He wasn't nut out, but the 124 nut out was something that just blew the minds of the cricket world. And it was meant for you to be the CEO.
Well, that is something that I totally and honestly appreciated in terms of my wife. Always, again, always looking out for me. And I felt at the time when the company was created, again, mm-hmm. in terms of stature, in terms of business acumen, in terms of to be able to run a company like that. I knew cricket. I knew the academy. So for me,
that's why you should run it.
It was easy to do that. And
yes.
Again, the legend market was born. And I felt like, it's like, okay, I was not able to maybe fulfill all my playing years that I wanted to. And here yep. comes the legend market, where it's the same platform or maybe even bigger compared to when I played. Now is the time to get back on the scene and to be seen again and to feel like to be selected again. That was the mentality there in terms mm-hmm. of that, and not realizing, but wait, you're not that person anymore. You have bypassed that person. You're now a different person. You're now a person who's operating in a space where cricket is a business. And yeah, you can play sometime.
And you created that space.
Yeah, this is not something for you to be all in, and you have to be in every tournament and all these things. So looking back at those things again, it requires honesty. And that is what my wife, you have always given me, honesty. You come to me and say, hey, no, this is not the case. This is not that. You're going on the wrong hole. You're handling, your ego is getting involved here. And I'm like, yeah. What ego are you talking about? Ego, like, what ego?
And he did not listen.
And these are things for me in terms of understanding that. And maybe it was just something on my part I wanted to fulfill. Maybe it was something
That's why I held I kept a tight upper lip. I understood, you know, Ricardo, you know, as we talked about before, I understood that you didn't walk away on your terms. I knew that you wanted to go back and play cricket, and I was diagnosed, and Russ was diagnosed, and because of that, I took up the mantle of 124, but I didn't want to do it. It was not meant for me. But just to not so that you don't feel very bad about it, I'm still glad that with you going back and play Legends, that I had the honor of seeing the most splendid century and half century. To me, you know, two of the best innings that you've ever played. And I was so proud that you were able to go back and fulfill that. But it was done at the detriment of a company. You and I know that, you know?
But
you did it.
Yeah, that is something that, again, at the end of the day, I did it. And I think during this period here and this time is something that I can look back and honestly say in terms of these decisions were not the best decisions.
Yeah.
These things could have done differently.
Yeah.
And that is where for me in terms of when you allow your ego to take charge of things that you're doing.
Special shout out to our therapist. You're the best. Yeah.
it can really do permanent damage.
Yeah, it did.
And, And again, going back into that space, again, it was not thinking about my wife in terms of what she wants and her dreams and her goals. It was just being selfish.
Yeah.
And when you can get to a space like that in your life in terms of as your husband and understanding those things, I think for me, it's good because it's important that I understand those things going forward, because I want to make sure that every step of the way that I am there to be your number one supporter, to be the person who is going to push you and be behind you regardless of whatever happens.
Right.
Because you have done that for years and you have never wavered. And for me, as a man, which most times with us, our ego comes first. It's like, it's about me. It's about me. Like, hey, and you're not looking to see, hey, you're not paying attention. Your wife need this. Your wife need that. And if it is that we didn't have the friendship that we have and the honesty in our marriage, this could have been a different story.
On a great purpose.
It could have been a different story.
And
I just thank God for all those things in terms of
that. Maybe it was all supposed to be a part of the journey. We are better off today. We are in a better place in our marriage. Out of that, I realized when I stepped down from 124 as CEO, and to be clear, I'm still the legend agent. I'm still the cricket agent, but not just playing a smaller role in the company, because I have my own dreams. And I don't want to work with you anymore like that. I just want to be your wife. Just to be clear, if you're listening on Spotify, if you see my face right now, go to YouTube. But I don't want to be your business partner anymore. We've done that for so many years. We'll always be partners, financially and otherwise. But more so, the most important thing to me is being your wife.
I don't want to work with you.
I don't want to work with you. No. I don't enjoy that anymore. I have outgrown that. I'm burnt out, really.
Yeah.
You understand that, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to bring you on a public platform to tell you like this, but you've heard it before.
Not only that, I mean, understanding, accepting it, and realize that, hey, it's nothing personal. At the end of the day,
personal. I think our marriage would benefit more. I just became your business partner. And what's that? I didn't marry you. I didn't say I do to be your business partner. I said that to be your life partner. Yeah. I'm here. I can still make those same decisions.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of... Well, it's the number one mistake that a lot of couples make in terms of when everything is intertwined and there's no separation of this and this. So you cannot come home to me and express, hey, I had this day or this is what I'm going through and stuff like that, because we're both in it. So I think, as I said, everything happens for a reason, and I think we're in a better place for that in terms of just overall honesty and just accepting that, because if you love the person and you want what is best for them, you're going to make sure that you be that person for them.
Yeah. But back to the career, just to wrap up that side, because we have some more things to discuss and we have to do a pepper pot section later on. And I know my producer is looking forward to that. But the legacy, the work you've done, despite the discomforts we've experienced as husband and wife and business partners, you know, I think it's important to note that after 20 some years, we could say, I got you, you got me, but I need to do some things differently for me, you know?
Yeah.
I am happy that, you know, I read somewhere and I was like, they understand what we've done. And I'm so proud. Like my producer gave me some material that in her research, and it says that your story, as in Ricardo Powell's story, is that, and this is what I want people to know about you. And I'm just summarizing, it's a lot out there. So it says, a career built with broader purpose after being an international cricketer. So that was just one part of you. Is that it's a Caribbean American story. One second, sorry. It's a Caribbean American story of a player formed in Jamaica, embraced by Trinidad, and now planting coaching stakes in Atlanta and Florida while broadcasting the game stories to a dispersed, hungry audience. In the end, Powell has lived three cricketing lives: the hitter, the mentor, the maker of platforms. The first gave him his name. The second and third might prove to be his most important. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? They get you, babe.
Yep.
And for years, I've been saying to you, I'm like, babe, they're not like us, as Kendrick Lamar would say. What you're doing is different. If I had to choose anybody's career, I would choose yours.
Yeah. It took
me a while. You got the name. You got the this. And you, which would you choose?
No, I would choose no, for sure. I would not take away from the thought that I needed to make a name for myself.
Correct.
But just like many other athletes today, in your first couple of years of playing, is that you lose so much. And if it is that you're not forward thinking enough to grow in those times to be able to reap the reward at the end, or to be in a position to really understand and to reflect and to be a mentor, to be a loving person, to be a caring person, that can really affect you later on, because your life can become about you and you can become selfish. And that is something that if it's one thing about my career in terms of where I am today, in terms of not understanding and learning those things earlier, just to be empathetic, to be more caring, to be selfless about the people that you love and make sure that you're always there for them. But overall, I think I am happy. I am grateful that God has blessed me with the career that he has blessed me with.
Yeah.
He has blessed me with my life partner. He has blessed me with three beautiful kids. And with those kind of blessings is that we wake up every day, and some days we think that we have the world of problem today. But if we wake up tomorrow morning and our head is hurting, our leg, and we can't move, then all those problems is secondary to what, it doesn't matter the amount of money you have.
Yeah.
But if it is that you're not feeling healthy, you're not feeling strong, then that is a greater issue to have. And sometimes
have it all once we have health and strength.
Yeah. So to me, just to be able to reflect and to grow, that is one of the most important things for me now based on where I'm at in my life.
Yeah. I'm happy to hear that. And despite the challenges, I'm happy that God chose me to be a part of this journey. I'm happy that I think the mark of a great husband is not someone who has never made a mistake, but someone who can take accountability for the mistakes that they've made and seek to do better. Because nobody's perfect. No wife is perfect. I have made mistakes. I try my best to grow every day, and that's why I just want to be your wife. I don't want to be a business partner. So that I can be better to you, you know? So I could grow too. Yeah. So how would you summarize your career in the United States? Like, you know, you've done a lot, sir. Chairman of Selectors, USA Cricket. The Ricardo Powell Cricket Academy. 124 Natal Sports Agency. I mean, this is... I could not have designed a better career, huh?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't think we saw everything coming to America, because at first it was about making sure that we were here for Russ.
Yeah.
To put him first. And that's where I talk about to be selfless.
Yeah.
And to put others first, because sometimes we might think that our goals and our dream is buried behind. When we put others first and we think that that person is getting ahead, or we're putting them first to get what they need to get.
But
I strongly believe that in the universe and with God, that he never forgets you.
Nope.
He never forgets what your dreams and goals are. It might be delayed, but he don't ever deny you. And based on the things that I have done since living in America and understanding the landscape of cricket here, and to be able to be the chairman for almost 6 years and travel the entire country and know the landscape and know every person in every corner of the country, has helped our companies in the form of cricket. It has not helped our relationship because, again, everything was about cricket. So all those things I've learned from to be where I am today. And reflecting on all of that, I think it was just God's plan in terms of how he designed you to be where you are today. And that's the way I look at that. And everything else that I missed out on or I think that I should have done, it's full circle in terms of understanding, okay, this is where you're at. This is the life that you have to live now. This is all the sacrifice that you have to make for others because I've given you the things that you need. And it's just for you to keep pushing on, keep growing in that area. But there's also other elements for you to think about to make sure that you support other people's journeys as well. And when I say other people, I'm talking about my wife's journey, my son being there for him. It's just all those elements that will make you into that complete person because you're always going to have something that is going to bother you. There's always going to be a challenge here and there. But that is just life.
So if you could speak to that 20-year-old, well, 19-year-old man, because you were 19 at the time, who scored 124 in Singapore, what advice would you give him now about your career in international cricket?
That you should celebrate every win.
Don't cry, hon. I understand. Let it out. Guys, don't forget to subscribe. I want to give him some time. Don't forget to subscribe. This is a good one. I promised you.
No, it's just very important to celebrate every win.
Every win.
And not let other people have power over your happiness. Because tomorrow is not promised to anybody.
Nope.
And where you are today and where you're going to be tomorrow has nothing to do with a selection, 100 that you make, but just being in a space where you're happy and the things that you have achieved or the things that you have was God-given and it can be easily taken away.
Taken away,
And don't let any man or any selector or any player or anything like that take away the moments that you're supposed to celebrate. Celebrate every win. Celebrate every game that you play because you might not have that tomorrow. And that will end up making you a better and a happier person in life because, you know, everyone needs to be celebrated because you're not going to have them every day. And use your failures as life experience. Not that I have failed, but it's just a way for me to move forward. And
You know, I don't believe in failure, right? I believe in pivot. Yeah. I don't believe in no failure. That word don't exist for me.
Yeah. So coaching today, I tell every young player that I coach that you have to celebrate every win. If you make 20 or 30 or you win a game, celebrate it because you just don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And that makes you a happier person in the space that you are, whether you're playing or you're not playing, because life is going to bring moments of wins and sometimes you're going to lose. But if you don't celebrate the good times, then the hard time is going to be even harder.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, I know my producer is sweating because I haven't taken a break for an hour. So let's take a break, guys. You're listening and watching Basha TV Podcast, and I'm interviewing my wonderful husband, Ricardo Powell. We're coming back with a Pepper Pot section. We'll be right back.
It's brought to you by Ricardo Powell Cricket Academy, based in Tampa and Naples, Florida.
Welcome back. It's your girl, Basha. And I have had the most wonderful discussion with my husband, the one and only Ricardo Powell. But now I'm about to put him in the pepper pot. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
It's getting hot. We drop you in the pepper pot.
Welcome to our famous pepper pot section, where you can only give one answer. You need, well, not one answer, but one choice. You only have one choice. So you better come good or don't come at all. Who fell in love first, you or me?
Me.
Hey. What's my most annoying habits that you secretly love?
Your most annoying habit that I secretly love.
That's the producer question.
Detail.
I know you so well. I know you would say that, you know. Yes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Detail.
The queen of detail. Yes. Nobody gets away with it. Favorite music. Soca or dancehall?
Oh, yo. I think it's a tie.
Nope. Can't tie in the pepper pots. You got to choose. That's like having two wives.
No, it's not.
Yes. Soca or dancehall? Hurry up. We already over our time.
Dancehall.
Okay. You're being political now. Why don't you go carnival and dance to dancehall? Okay. If you had to describe our marriage in one word, what would it be?
One word. Wow.
You're taking too long in the pepper pot.
That's hard. One word.
I'll give you two then. Two. Time you'll ever get a chance for two.
A marriage in one word. I would say love, because love is understanding. Love is forgiven. Love is everything. So I'll just use one, love.
Okay. I don't know about that. But favorite cricketer of all time?
Favorite cricketer of all time?
That you like to watch? That inspired you to
Chris Gayle.
Chris Gayle. Your favorite vacation spot?
Trinidad Carnival.
Oh, that's a vacation. Okay. I thought you would have said Puerto Vallarta. So disappointed in you. What is the one thing about you that people would be surprised to learn?
That I'm shy.
I don't think so. What's the best advice you hope to pass on to our kids?
Celebrate every win.
The one thing you wish you knew 20 years ago?
Pay attention to detail.
For me, it would be to set up more guardrails around us and deny access to the wrong energy, because it can harm you. What has kept our marriage strong, or our relationship strong, for 25 years, in your opinion?
Our friendship.
To me, it's Jesus. All right. One more question.
We're going to clarify that Jesus is a given. I mean, without him in the center, nothing is possible.
Yeah.
But the fact that we can reason and talk about things.
Our friendship definitely. Well, I guess Jesus created that. But one more question. The producer didn't give me this one. Who's your favorite wife?
Who's my favorite wife?
Yeah.
She was once Elisa and now is Basha.
and they say I have no sense.
Mm-hmm. Who said that?
And that's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, babe, this was nice. I was really nervous. I was like, this is kind of weird, but this was necessary.
Yeah, this was good. Weird.
It was overdue, and I want to thank my producer, the great Delicia Winnell, for going all out for this interview. And even crying before the interview, there you have it. I outed you. But This was amazing. And thank you. Thank you for, I am excited to see what our future holds, because we're not the same people who got married 24 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, we're very different, and we're good different. I think we're better.
Better different.
Better different.
Yeah.
And on that note, I want to thank you all for watching. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow. And I guess I'll see you guys next week. Don't forget to live the life you love and love the life you live. It's your girl, Baja. I'm outside. Cheers. Bye. See you next week.
Basha TV Podcast was created by Basha Alicia Powell. Host, Basha Alicia Powell. Executive Producer, Basha Alicia Powell. Producer, Delicia Winner. Creative, Basha TV Productions, LLC, and Carver Consulting. Music, Right to Do by Basha Alicia Powell and Ricardo Powell. Editors, Basha Powell, Delicia Winner. Visual Effects, Basha TV Productions, LLC, RJ Powell. Music Composer, Basha TV Productions, LLC, All Rights Reserved. Guest Bookings, Carver Consulting. Special thanks to all our guests.